right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. Welcome back. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio here until 5 a.m. Two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. Get them in now at 312-981-7200. That's also the number for talk and text. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. And you can also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Coming up in a little bit, we are going to talk about great rivalries in everything, in sports, in business, everything. Some fun rivalry stories we'll talk about a little bit later on. But right now, I want to welcome back to the show a guy who is, you know, who helped form my my twisted sense of humor. one of the guys who was he's the co-founder of Firesign Theater, and he's been on the show. We had him on a few months back to talk about his book, Where's My Fortune Cookie, my psychic surrealist story, which tells all these great stories of him being in the business and the creation of Firesign Theater and all of that great stuff. He's back to talk about these new podcasts that he's doing and this festival where he was honored just recently, and to talk more about Firesign Theater and his book. And his name is Phil Proctor, and I am thrilled to welcome him back to the show. Phil, welcome back.
Hi, Nick. You're not related to Nick Danger, Third Eye, are you?
I am not.
Oh, good. Okay. But I thought I was going to be in the riflery section. Great riflery. I used to have a BB gun when I was a kid back in Goshen, Indiana. And I really did some great riflery when I was a kid. But, hey, okay, so maybe I can just hang on and talk about that later in your show.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that, because that's exactly what we're going to be talking about, riflery. Right, exactly. Phil, how are you? How you doing, sir?
I'm back. I'm great. I'm back and I'm beautiful. We returned yesterday from Kansas City, Missouri.
Right.
Where I participated in the Here Now Audio Festival for, oh my God, I've been doing something like this since 1979, you know, to boost audio theater in all of its manifestations. And it's really amazing to see how the popularity of audio theater has grown over the years, not at least because of the popularity of podcasts and the new platforms that have evolved for audiobooks and all these other manifestations, which is why I was very happy to launch, while I was there, my podcast at podbean.com. Mm-hmm. It's actually called the Proctor Podcast at podbean.com. And it went up, on Friday. They had a special celebration for me at the Cinemark Theater there in beautiful Kansas City.
Yeah.
And and it was air conditioned, which was really a great idea, right? Yeah. And so we got to hear live the first podcast in a beautiful sound system in a wonderful studio. I shouldn't say studio, in a wonderful movie theater with slides accompanying it. And the reason I'm so proud about it is that I had written this book, as you know, we talked about it months ago, Where's My Fortune Cookie, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that Sue Zizza and her engineer husband, David Shin, invited me to create an audio book based on my book was very thrilling, because they understood that I wanted to add Firesign Theater elements to it. I wanted it to have sound effects and music, and we did a wraparound by a guy named Tom Kelly, who is a younger man. Everybody's younger by my estimate, by the way, because Fireside Theater career, Nick, was a 50-year career, right?
Yeah.
And although two of our members have passed away, Phil Austin and Peter Bergman, my wonderful collaborator who started at Yale, Dave Osman and I are still alive and kicking, and we created a piece called The Art of Radio, which is a kind of an evolution of a Firesign Theater piece we did back in the late 70s. Mm. And we performed that as well at the Here Now Festival in Kansas City. But we premiered that piece at the Library of Congress back in September of last year, when they announced that they were purchasing the Firesign Theater archives for $500,000.
Wow.
Indeed. Wow. Which, you know, upside down is mom. Thank you, mom. Okay. So we were very, very pleased to actually spend time with the curator of audio acquisitions at the Library of Congress, whose name is Matt Barton, who was at the Here Now Festival. So we were able to celebrate with him this wonderful acquisition, and he got to hear the next live iteration of The Art of Radio,
wow,
which David and I performed on Saturday night as the top liner of the audio theater presentations that ended the festival.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty amazing that I can still talk.
Yeah, no, you sound great too. You sound great. And so
thank you.
The festival itself, they did like a nice tribute to you, correct?
Yeah, they did a tribute on Friday afternoon at the Cinemark Theater, and that was when we premiered the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I hope that people get the book at amazon.com. Where's my fortune cookie?
Right.
But also the podcast, which, as I said, is available at as the Proctor podcast at podbean.com, is very interesting, because I was able, when we recorded it back in Brooklyn about 4 or 5 months ago, I was able to make some corrections of mistakes that were in the book.
Uh-oh.
And we ultimately could not correct in our fervor to get it out to the people. So you'll be hearing not only my own personal voice reading the book and the reminiscences that I talk about,
yeah,
but also there will be some corrections.
Okay, well, I'm going to have right? to I'm going to have to listen for those corrections.
Yes, and read along in your book and make notes.
Yeah, I will.
Right?
I will.
As to what wasn't totally accurate.
You know, it seems really appropriate that you're diving into the world of podcasts, considering, you know, how you started your career with Firesign and everything, and how you guys were groundbreaking in the comedy albums that you did. They were theater. They were audio theater,
and
with so many great elements, and you guys were way ahead of your time. And now people are finally catching up to you, Phil.
Thank you, Nick. It's true. The one great thing about, well, not the one, one of the many great things about working with these four men, for those of your listeners who may not know what Firesign Theater
is. Yeah, you explain,
was,
please. Yeah,
right?
Explain, yeah.
It was a 50-year career. Four men, Phil Austin, Phil Proctor, Dave Osman, and Peter Bergman. We started on listener-supported radio 50 years ago in Los Angeles, California, on KPFK. And it grew from that into a recording contract with Columbia Records, where over a half a century, we created many, many, many fascinating albums, which were devoured at the time by the audience that wanted to hear what we were saying, which was very revolutionary.
Yes.
We pioneered, as you know, the multi-layered comedy album. We all were children of radio, and we wanted to create records that people would listen to over and over and over again, and learn new things from them every time that they heard them. And because we were all futurists in our minds, we created projections of what we thought was going to happen. And of course, some of these things are still happening now.
Yeah, it's terrifying how you guys, I mean, it really is kind of terrifying how some of the things that you guys predicted happened.
Yeah, I think the most fun one, which is accessible to people, our fourth album for Columbia was called I Think We're All Bozos,
yeah,
on This Bus, right?
Right.
And it was a trip through a future fair that the government had organized to make everybody think that everything was hunky-dory and okey-dokey in their lives, although it might not have been. It's kind of a Disneyland created by the government. And I was a disaffected worker. I'd been fired. My name was Clem. And I went back into the future fair, and I hacked into the mainframe computer, Dr. Memory, Direct Readout Memory, and I gave him a virus. I planted a virus in the form of a koan, which is a Zen question that he could not answer in terms of negative and positive, yes and no. Why does the porridge bird lay his egg in the air? And it brought down the entire government computer. Now, what's interesting is that years later, I met Steve Jobs,
mm-hmm,
who is the computer guru that gave us the home computer and created the computer revolution. And he said, I met him because I had done voices for A Bug's Life, along with Dave Osman.
Mm-hmm.
And he shook my hand at the cast and crew screening and said, "I'm a big fan of yours," which was later justified when, as we were passing all of our archives on to Washington, D.C., we found a picture of the young Steve Jobs in, like, 1970 signing records party in Berkeley.
Mm.
All right? But I had forgotten that, of course. And so when I met him at the screening for the Pixar movie, he said, "I'm a big fan of yours." I said, "That's wonderful. Now, I'm going to talk to Siri on my iPhone right now. I'm going to say, this is Worker speaking. Hello."
"Hello, Aklem. What function can I perform for you? LOL."
Now, that, Nick, is an Easter egg that Steve Jobs put into the Siri program. That is a direct quote from our album.
That's amazing. That is,
I know.
That is so
Isn't it
cool.
wonderful?
That is so cool. Phil, hang on, okay? We have to take a break for a commercial, okay?
Sure, you bet.
All right, man. It's Phil Proctor, one of my heroes, co-founder of Firesign Theater. His book is called Where's My Fortune Cookie, and it's a terrific book. You can check out planetproctor.com, and his podcast, which we'll talk more about, will be available, is available now at podbean.com. Much more to talk about with Phil after we take a break for the news here on WEGN. And welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. It is a Tuesday morning, and so you can get your request in for Two for Tuesday, One Artist, Two Songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for your requests. We're going to talk about rivalries a little bit later on, but right now we are talking with Phil Proctor of the Firesign Theater, author of the book Where's My Fortune Cookie? Tremendous book, and his podcast series is available as well. Just got back from a festival in Kansas City, Missouri, and we just heard a great story about involving Steve Jobs. And let's bring Phil back. Welcome back, Phil.
And we're back.
Exactly.
Yeah, I must say, Chicago is, of course, not that far away from Goshen, Indiana, where I was born and raised. And, in fact, I left my tonsils in Chicago when I was a young man. So would you please look for them?
I'll try and find them. I'll try and find them. Yeah, I'll look for
please
them.
Please do.
Okay.
It's so funny, Nick, that we're talking live tonight while we have two dictators who have just met under the table in Sing Sing, right?
Yeah.
And each of them has, well, one of them has three names, and the other, is bent on undoing every progressive American law since FDR, who also had three names. So it's kind of a weird circle that's going around.
Well, let me ask you a question. If all four of you guys were still, you know, active, and I know you work and everybody and your partner's working, what would you guys do with this stuff that's happening now? I mean, it writes itself, Phil.
Yeah, you know, you're right, Nick. And really, basically, what the Firesign Theater was doing and what Proctor and Osman are doing with our piece, The Art of Radio, which we're still performing, is basically we are court jesters to the king, all right? And we always have been. And our basic message was non-political.
Yeah.
It basically was saying, you are responsible for your own destiny, for your own life, and you are responsible also in terms of politics, of making the correct decisions, whatever you believe, in order to help our democracy progress. So the basic message still is, when you go into the voting booth, you are your own person. And whatever your beliefs are, that's what you have to vote from. Vote from your heart and from your mind, if you have one, and make the right decision regarding the future of our country. Because it still is the most amazing democratic experiment in the history of the world, and I've always been proud to be a part of it, and I never want to leave the country because of it, and I think we should all be proud of our country, and we should try to guide it to the best of our ability by exercising our power as the electorate, as voters.
Yeah. Now, can you go back? I know, you know, it was some months ago when you were on the last, and people might not know how the Firesign Theater was born, and it's a pretty funny story.
I don't know how funny it is.
Well, it's an interesting story, I can tell you that.
Okay. Well, the book, Where's My Fortune Cookie, which is available at Amazon.com, is basically a kind of a mixed-up history of how I, an independent actor who appeared on Broadway and off-Broadway and on television in many early manifestations, ended up working with this crazy four-man satirical Monty Python-type group,
yep.
Right,
mm-hmm.
in America, which was called the Beatles of Comedy,
yep.
by the Library of Congress, which, as I said, just purchased our entire archives. So it's an amazing story. But my own tale about it had to do with the fact that I went to Yale because I wanted to study drama, and I met Peter Bergman there because he was writing lyrics for two musicals I starred in, Tom Jones and Booth is Back in Town, about the Booth family, written by Austin Pendleton.
Mm.
And Peter, and I later, if you read the book, you'll see this strange psychic connection. I later ended up in the Sunset Strip riots, in whenever that happened,
mm-hmm.
with Peter Fonda and Brandon DeWilda. And Peter Fonda was doing research for a little movie he wanted to write called Easy Rider.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And during that, the riot that happened there, the so-called riot, I sat down on Peter Bergman's face, or at least a picture of it, right, in the L.A. Free Press, and it said he was working at KPFK. I called the next day. I ended up on his show. I met the other two guys, Phil Austin and David Osman. We're all fire signs. I'm a Leo, two Sagittarians, and an Aries. And the Fire Sign Theater started improvising on the radio on a listener-supported station in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And we became very, very famous because of that. And this led to a record contract with Columbia. And that's the whole story of Fireside Theater. And in the meantime, I continued to appear on television, on shows like All in the Family and the like, as a guest star. And I ended up doing voices. I'm Howard on the Rugrats, the father of Phil and Lil.
Right.
Right, and all these wonderful characters in the Pixar and Disney movies, from Beauty and the Beast on to the latest one, which is out of my mind. What was it called?
Inside Out.
Yes. That's right. That was the last one that I did.
Yeah.
So I've had this wonderful, funny parallel career with the Fire Sign Theater, which was a cultural and social career.
It had
a great effect on the future of comedy.
It had a huge effect on a lot of people, including me. As I've told you before, I discovered you guys right around the same time as I discovered Python, and it was a whole new way of looking at comedy for me, and it really twisted my brain, too, in a very good way. And
I know. I'm so sorry, but I'm not responsible.
Oh, man. Well, those are such great stuff. And let me ask you about the voice work that you do, because
sure.
I think that voice work is an art form. I really do. I think it's a dying art form, because nowadays they just hire recognizable actors who aren't voice artists. There's a difference between an actor and a voice artist, I think.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Nick.
Yeah.
We call it stunt casting,
uh-huh.
in the business.
Yeah.
Because people know that if you hire a recognizable star to do voices in an animated feature, it's going to attract more people,
right.
to the movie. At least that's the philosophy.
Right.
And it was the same in the commercial industry. But the fact is, as you quite rightly acknowledge, it is an art form, and it is a way of working that you have to learn how to do. And I did, too.
Yeah.
And I still learn every time I am challenged to add a voice to a cartoon or, for instance, a video game,
yeah.
which is another, huge area of exploitation. I'm the voice of Dr. Vidic in the Assassin's Creed series,
mm-hmm.
for instance, right? And I'm also... I've done, oh my gosh, if you seek out philproctor.com in any manifestation or go to planetproctor.com, you will see that I've done hundreds and
yeah.
hundreds and hundreds of voices.
I got to tell you something, Phil. I'm looking at your IMDb page right now. I think it's 43 pages long.
Yeah, it is. Because I added voices to so many movies,
yeah.
many of them blockbuster movies. And what, you know, what people don't understand about our industry, and why should they, is that whenever you see a movie or a television show, all the background voices and many of the characters that you see or the actors that you see have been revoiced by a small group of people, like usually a dozen talented improvisational actors, right, who come in and add all of the background voices to everything. Because when you shoot a movie or a TV show, you can't have the extras talking in the background because you can't edit it together. So they're all pretending to talk.
Right.
and that's where they hire us to come in and put voices into their mouths, which can later be, you know, mixed into the final product,
yeah.
You know, at a lower level, so you don't hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, and I still get residuals from movies that I've done, oh my gosh, and television shows way back in the early 60s. In fact, I just got a residual for a movie that I did with Jane Fonda, where I was on camera, called Sunday in New York. Okay, and I'm in a scene in the boat park in Central Park with Jane Fonda, and one of the things again that folks who are not, or civilians as we call you, who are not in the industry,
yeah,
don't realize that we get all these wonderful residuals based on the exploitation of all the work that we've done,
yeah,
over our lifetime.
Yeah.
And that's what really keeps us,
yeah,
going and sustaining. So every time that you download something or that you're in an airplane and you watch a movie that I'm in, I get a piece of that action.
See, there you go. And that's what we want.
And I get a Bloody Mary with two little bottles of Tito's vodka.
Phil, hang on, okay?
I'm hanging.
All right, there you go, Phil. Phil Proctor, one of my comedy heroes, co-founder of the Firestein Theater. He's got a tremendous book about his life called Where's My Fortune Cookie? It is great. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the structure of this new podcast that he has, and many more things to talk about with Phil Proctor right here on 720 WGN. We'll be right back. And welcome back, everybody. Nick DiCilio here on 720 WGN. My guest right now is Phil Proctor, one of the founders of Firestein Theater. He's written a terrific book called Where's My Fortune Cookie, and he's got a new podcast that debuted, and we welcome Phil back. Welcome back, Phil.
Hey, thanks, Nick. And I am so glad you're emphasizing the live aspect of your show and the fact that it obviously is keeping you young and vital, because there's nothing like communicating with your audience at the absolute moment of the reality that we're living in. And that's how I started. I was a child actor on live television on WPIX New York back in Manhattan when I was like 9 years old. It was a show called Uncle Danny Reads the Funnies. Elliot Gould was also one of the child actors.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
On this show. Yeah. And what we would do is, it was at the Daily News building down in Manhattan, and it was a live show, and Uncle Danny would read the funnies in the Daily News, and me and a pretty little girl would improvise comments about what he was reading.
Uh-huh.
And that was really my introduction to my first professional introduction to show business, and I loved it. I felt like such a natural, you know, it was just one of those things. And of course, how did you get into radio yourself?
I had a mentor here at the radio station, a man named Roy Leonard, who was a legend, and he took me under his wing, and he liked me and let me review movies on his radio show, and that's how it all started. I got lucky. I happen to be friends and taken under my wing by a legend. That's
yeah. Well, you know, that's how most of us got into the radio medium, which is still such a wonderful, intimate way.
It is. I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
To get into the heads of people,
yeah,
who love what you're doing, who feel like they know you, you know, and become fans of what you are doing. And that's the way that you create a lifetime career for yourself, yeah. Basically.
I've been lucky, you know, to do this and to have such loyal listeners. And last year I was inducted into the WGN Walk of Fame, so I got my name in the, you know, it's just been
So people are walking on your face now.
They're walking on my name. They're walking on me, and they're putting out their cigarettes and stuff. It's really pretty great.
So I know you have to go down and clean your star every now and again. Now I got a star for playing the part of Howard on the Rugrats.
Yes.
I'm the father of Phil and Lil.
Yeah.
and they put it in front of Frederick's of Hollywood, right? And the Hollywood toy store, which is next to it. Frederick's of Hollywood, for those of you who don't know, was like, you know, sexy lingerie, right? And it's right next to the Hollywood toy store,
right?
Where I used to buy props for the Fireside Theater pieces.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that we did for Fireside Theater when we got this contract with Columbia and knew that we had to write, you know, a series of records, or pieces that would become records, is that we would perform them live at the Ash Grove, which is now the Improv in California.
Uh-huh.
It's been around forever.
Sure.
And so I would go, I was the prop meister, and I would go and buy props and costumes and masks, right, and things, so that we could perform our pieces. And then, on the basis of the audience response, we would rewrite it so that when we finally went into the studio to record our albums, we knew we knew what they thought was funny, our audience.
Yeah.
And right? And we could define it that way. We were very, very lucky, because when we did our first album in 1967, I think it was Waiting for the Electrician,
mm-hmm.
or someone like him, which is the first experiment in our long-form, multi-layered audio comedy, we were, you know, nobody knew what we were doing.
Right.
And the suits at Columbia didn't want us, you know, they wanted to fire us. And a guy named John McClure, who was the head of the spoken arts division at Columbia Records, he held up our record, said, these guys are geniuses. We've got to keep them on. We've got to let them develop what they want to do. And he signed us to a spoken arts contract.
Oh, wow.
And, Nick, here's the secret. We had free audio time. We could go into our studios, and we didn't have to pay for the time we spent there.
Wow.
That we traded that for a reduced residual, which I'm still sorry about. No, it was fine. It was fine, because we were all hippies at heart.
Yeah.
But the fact is, we could write something, go into the studio, lay it down, go back after we'd heard what we wrote, write some more, and go in again. It allowed us to create these revolutionary new multi-layered recording comedy album.
Yeah. Well, and Phil, they still hold up today. I mean, I could pull those things up.
They
do. They absolutely do. They're brilliant and so influential and so important in the world of comedy. And I really can't wait to hear your podcast. Now, the podcast is going to be split into different parts, 24 parts, where you can actually tell all the stories that are in your book, correct?
Yes, that's right. And not only that, Nick, but that Nick. That's like a beatnik in a way. Okay, not only that, Nick, but I was able to actually correct some mistakes in the book.
Right, right.
Okay? Because, you know, no matter how much you edit your book, there's always, and how, you know, how many people you put it through to correct it, there's always going to be a couple of mistakes. And eventually you just say, well, we got to put it out there. Let's get it out there. What the hell? You know, and most people don't know what is incorrect in factually otherwise, but I was able to make some corrections when I read the book live, and I'm actually going to be adding a new segment or two to the book, which is not in the book, which I felt was an omission that should be there.
There you go. That's why people need to get the podcast. Go to podbean.com. You can also go to planetproctor.com and get all the information. Phil, always a pleasure to talk to you, man. It's a delight. You have such great stories, and you have such great history, and you were, you know, like I said, a huge impact on me.
Thank you.
And I appreciate it, Phil. And we'll get you on again soon, okay?
You bet. Anytime. Please get in touch with me. I'd love to talk to you. And much success. Onward, Chicago.
Thank you, Phil. Take care. There you go. Everybody, Phil Proctor from Firesign Theater. You can check out planetproctor.com and get the podcast where he tells the stories from his terrific book, Where's My Fortune Cookie? And more new stories as well that will be a part of that podcast. All right. Well, that's a delight. All right, we're going to take a break, and we got the news coming up next.